right, thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Psalms, Psalms 119, if you will. Psalms 119, if you'll open your Bible there. One good thing about Psalms, it's just about, if you got your Bible and you open it in the middle, you usually wind up in Psalms. Now, I don't in mine because there's too much, there's this much back there that's not scripture, you know. There's an index and there's a concordance, but if you get rid of that, and that's all, and you open it in the middle, you're in Psalms, all right? So, Psalm 119, if you would, we'll just take a look. Psalms, the longest book in the Bible, got 159 chapters. Some people get offended if you call them chapters, and they say, no, they're Psalms. Okay. And the 119th is the longest one of those that are in the book of Psalms. So we'll look at it this morning, but I'll just help you. We're not going to read the whole chapter, okay? We'll just read verse 30, if you will. We'll begin there. The Bible said, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I said Psalms 119 is the longest psalm in the book of Psalms. The interesting thing about it, it's got 176 verses, and all 176 verses deal with the Bible itself. If you read down there, for instance, if you got your Bible open, the 54th verse says, thy statutes, all right? Verse 57 says, thy words, okay? Thy words. Verse 59 says, thy testimonies. Verse 60 says, thy commandments. Verse 61 says, thy law. Okay, verse 62 talks about thy righteous judgments, okay? All of those words, statutes, judgment, commandments, testimonies, the law, thy word, also the word precepts will show up in this psalm, and the two words, thy word, they show up 39 times in this one psalm alone. Now, I tell you, you got to be completely out of it to miss the fact God's talking about His Word. His Word, okay? And the Bible tells us that He's magnified His Word above His name. And His name is above every name, all right? So I'm just telling you, the Lord put a big, big emphasis on His Word, very much. And I want you to notice with me that phrase there, verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Now, I want to preach to you on that subject of when you choose the way of truth. When you choose the way of truth. Now, I will say this, you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. It's demanded because you will not choose and you will not take the way of truth accidentally. That just will not happen. Now, you can be driving and accidentally get on the wrong way. Or you can be driving and accidentally get on the right way, all right? And oh, depending whatever, usually, though, if you accidentally get on somewhere, you decide, well, this is the wrong way, all right? I've been downtown and accidentally turned left when I should have turned right because that arrow said one way going that way, and I turned that way, and I was in for a rude awakening. I looked up, and every lane was filled with vehicles, and they were coming at me. Now, if you want excitement in life, that's a good way to get it, okay? It will brighten your day completely. People will honk the horn and wave at you, all right? Very friendly folks. But, I mean, you know, we don't accidentally get on the way of truth. Just doesn't happen, all right? It's definitely a choice. Definitely a choice. And by the way, it is a scriptural choice. It's a scriptural choice. John chapter 17, verse 17 says, "Thy word is truth." Thy word is truth. So when you choose the way of truth, you can't choose the way of truth without choosing the way of the Word of God, because that's where truth lies. Now, you can read the newspaper and occasionally find truth in the newspaper, but it's not necessarily the truth just because it's there. And it is a joke among people today when you said, "Where'd you hear that?" Well, it was on the internet. It had to be true. And we realize that is totally a joke, all right? That mean it's true just because you saw it there. But man, if you choose the way of truth, you have to choose the way of Scripture, because that is the truth. That is the truth. When you open this book, you're getting the truth. You're getting the truth. It is that, all right? If it's true, it'll match the Bible. Now, I just want to tell you that anything that's really true is going to match up with the Word of God. All the time. If it doesn't match the Bible, it's not truth. It's not truth. There's a lot of people today, a lot of psychologists and such like, and a lot of counselors that are giving out words that are not true because they're against the Scripture. And we live in a day where people are slick with their words. Slick with their words. And the way they use them and the conclusion that they reason themselves towards. But I'm going to tell you this, if it doesn't match the Scripture, it's not truth. Unfortunately, we live in a day where people are professed to be preachers or pastors, and they use words that we're used to and we're associated with, but they don't mean the same thing that the Bible says when it says those words. They don't do it. They've redefined them all, okay? And you got to be careful. You just must, hey, if it's truth, it doesn't violate scriptural principles. It doesn't violate scriptural principles. Now, the Bible does not say about everything, "Thou shalt not," or "Thou shalt," okay? You can't search the Scriptures and find the verse that says, "Thou shalt not inject heroin into your veins." Now, if you use that as say, well, then obviously it's not wrong to do that. Well, that doesn't mean it doesn't violate scriptural principles. There's no verse in the Bible that says thou shalt not snort cocaine. But it doesn't make it okay to snort cocaine, all right? It's not. It violates scriptural principles. You say, how you figure? Well, the Bible said your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, okay? And you're not to violate that. You're to stay away from things that are unclean. Hey, when you choose the way of truth, you choose the way of Scripture. It is a scriptural choice. But I want you to turn your Bible to 1 John, way over. Well, don't lose your place there in Psalms. 1 John, way over in the New Testament, right? You know, right before you get to Jude and in Revelation, the book of 1 John. Would you look there in chapter 5? 1 John chapter 5, okay? And I want you to look at one verse, verse 6. Not only when you choose Scripture, when you choose the way of truth, will you choose the way of the Scripture, but there's something else I want you to see. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, and not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit." You notice your Bible have a capital S right there? That's the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is, what's that next word? Truth. The Spirit is truth. All right? It is truth. That's the Spirit. So when you choose the way of truth, that choice bears the witness of the Holy Spirit. Bears the witness of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, according to John chapter 16, verse 13, was given unto us to guide us into all truth. The Lord told his disciples, he said, "I'm going to go away, but if I go away, the Comforter's going to come. The Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's going to dwell in you, and he will guide you into all truth. Hey, listen to me. If you choose the way of truth, you're choosing to bear witness, and the Holy Spirit will bear witness that this is the truth. Any man led by the Spirit will choose the way of truth. If you're led by the Spirit, you'll choose the way of truth. And we are, according to the New Testament, we're to be led by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Now, the way of the flesh will lead you not in the way of truth. It can lead you definitely away from the truth. But if you're led by the Spirit, you will choose the way of truth. All right? So it's a choice. You need to make the choice. I want to choose the way of truth. Notice back there in Psalm 119, I want you to notice in verse 30, I want you to see that next phrase says, "Thy judgments have I laid before me." Not only should you make a choice, but if you choose that way of truth, you need to take the challenge. You need to take the challenge. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Well, notice what it says, "Thy judgments have I laid before me." Now, remember what those judgments are? In chapter 119, he's talking about the Word of God. He's talking about the Word of God. And he said, "I have laid them before me." Now, have you ever noticed one of the quickest things people say to people today is, "Don't judge me. Don't judge me." Hey, I just want you to relax, okay? You don't need to worry about the judgment of man. You don't need to worry about the judgment of man. The judgment you need to be concerned with is the judgment of God. It's the judgment of God. Now, I want to say this to you. It's the Word of God that God is going to use to judge us. Once again, don't lose your place here, but let's go to the New Testament, the last book in the Bible, almost one of the very last chapters. I want you to look at chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, all right? Revelation chapter 20. Now, once again, the psalmist said, "Thy judgments have I laid before me," okay? "Thy judgments have I laid before me." Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, the Bible said, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books," you see that S on the end of book? "The books were open," all right? So there's going to be some books that are going to be open. "And another book was open, which is the book of life." So in addition to these books, there's going to be the book of life. And the Bible said, "And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." The dead were judged out of those things that are written in the books. Now, you said, what are those books? Well, I believe God's keeping a record of our deeds. The Bible said we will give an account for our deeds. He's keeping a record. I believe there's books that are written, and those books will be open. They're going to talk about what you've done in life, what I've done. And our deeds will be exposed for everybody to see, and they'll be out there. We'll have to give an account of those deeds, all right? The book of life. If your name's not in the book of life, you are done for. You're done for. Because if your name's not in the book of life, the Bible said you're going to be cast in the lake of fire. Yeah, but wait a minute, preacher. You don't understand. My mom and dad were Christians, and I was raised in a Christian home, and I've tried my best to live my best and do my best. Good for you. But if your name's not in that book, the Bible said you're going to be cast in the lake of fire. And the only way to get your name in that book, and the only way your name will be in that book, is if you trusted Christ as your Savior. The books are going to be open. But I'll tell you, I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt this book right here is going to be opened. And I believe we're going to be judged. I believe this book's going to judge us. It's going to be laid out there. Your life and my life are not going to be measured by any man. Okay, not going to be measured by any man. It's not going to be, well, how does... Brother Marshall measure up with Brother Chester. Doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. It's not going to be how do you measure up against me. That doesn't matter. It's not how do I measure up compared to you. Hey, it's how do we measure up according to what God's told us. That's going to be the measuring stick. That's it. We want to measure something at your house. You look for a ruler or something of some kind or some sort. Tape measure, you know. Usually when I'm looking for a tape measure, I can't find it, but I can find a one-foot ruler. So you measure it, you bring it up, put your finger there, and you slide the ruler over and then try to hone it, put your finger there, and irritating as all get out, you know. Just irritating as it can be. Hey, that's not going to be the measure. The measuring stick's going to be this book right here. It's going to be this book right here. We're going to be measured by it, all right? So how do you measure up to what it says? How do you measure up what it says? Now, here's what the psalmist said. He said, "Thy judgments have I laid before me." You see, you open this book and you lay it in front of you and you say, all right, now I'm going to take that challenge and I'm going to let this book take a look at my life. I'm just going to let this book take a look at my life. And it's not what you think. It's not what somebody else thinks. It's how do I measure up with this book, all right? How does it measure your work, your deeds? Hey, your words, how do they measure up against this book right here? Your will, how does it measure up against this, what's written right here? You see, that's the challenge. That's the challenge for us. How do I measure up according to what this book says? I just expose myself to it. That David said over in Psalm 139, verse 23, he said, "Search me, O God. Search me." Now, here's the challenge. Would you let somebody do it? Now, I'll be honest with you, I'd be careful about who I let take a look at my life. I'd be careful. I get phone calls constantly. Get them on my cell phone, get them on the home phone. And that it's a scam. It's a scam. I was at school this week, and we were just getting started. I mean, it was early in the day, and the phone rang. I pulled it out, and it said possible spam or possible scam, you know. And I went ahead and answered it, and I put it on speaker so all the kids in class could hear it and just kind of listen to the spiel. I get these calls. You ever get these calls where they tell you, hey, you're eligible, all your credit cards for a cheaper rate. You're all your credit cards, you're eligible for cheaper rate. And I see that you have a good history of payment and that you even pay more than the minimum sometimes. I made a mistake the other day. I'm on one of these days they're going to do that, and I'm going to say, okay, great. I said, I just want to know one thing. How do you know that? What's my name? What is my name? And you tell me what credit cards I've got. Because you just said you see. So what is my name? What is my name? I know it's amazing. There's so many scams out there. They want into your life is what they want. They want into your life. They really want into your bank account, all right? That's what they want. Hey, listen, I don't want them in my bank account. I don't want them in my life. But man, I hope I'm willing to take the challenge and let God look at me. Just let him look at me. David said, "Search me, O God." He was willing to let God take a real close examination of his heart. Well, you think about that. What a challenge that is to the believer today. Just search me. Hey, I've laid thy judgments before me. Laid it out here. When I read this book, I don't read this book and think about my brother Marion. Yeah, that's scalawag. You're describing him perfect right there. That's him. And it doesn't do me any good to read my Bible that way. I better read my Bible and think about me. Amen. Think about me, my life. Hey, you make a choice. You choose the way of truth. Then you need to take that challenge. Lay God's judgments out before you. But look at verse 31, would you? Look at the way the Bible says it. I have stuck unto thy testimony. Man, you see the way he phrases that truth about himself. He did not say, I'm sticking the testimonies on myself. That's not what he said. Instead, he stuck unto. That is, he stuck with them. Now, I don't know if you read and think about it, but what a testimony that is. That ought to be our goal every day. I stick with what God says. I'm going to stick with the testimony that I find in the Word of God. I'm going to do that. And he said, oh Lord, put me not to shame. I'll tell you what, you won't be ashamed if you'll stick with the book. You won't be ashamed. If you'll stick with what he said, just make it a practice, all right? It doesn't matter what somebody else thinks. It doesn't matter what somebody else does. It doesn't matter what somebody else says. I'm sticking with what God has already said. Oh, but there's been new discoveries and we live in an enlightened age. I'll stick with the book. I'll just stick with the book, all right? I mean, I'm sticking with what God says. Now, the implication is that doing so, you'll do things God's way, all right? You'll be concerned. You'll be concerned that your actions match up with what he's commanded and what he's chosen for you. If you stuck with the book, then I'm going to stick with him, all right? I'm going to stick with him. Now, when somebody else suggests a different approach, you say, no, I think I'll just stick with this. I'll just stick with this. I'm going to stay right here, all right? When somebody challenges, attacks, belittles, or mocks you, you say, it's all right. I'm going to stick with the book. I'm going to stick with the book. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were brought in the king's palace. They were brought the finest food the king had to offer, and it was laid in front of them, and Daniel said, can't eat that. I can't eat that. I'll defile myself. Just can't eat it. Can't have anything to do with it. Now, what was he saying? He said, I'm going to stick with the book. I'm going to stick with the book. I can't do that. The truth of the matter is, Joseph, when he was tempted and seduced by Potiphar's wife, the book hadn't been written yet, but Joseph said, I'm sticking with the book. He said, I'll not do that great sin. I will not do it. Why? I'm going to stick with the book. I'm going to just stick with the book. I'm going to stay with it. Hey, when the world changes, you say, I'm going to remain with the book. I'm going to just stay on the rock. It's the one that's got me where I've been and where I am. I think I'll just stick with it. I think I'll just stick with it. Hey, I feel that way when somebody comes along. Man, have you seen this new translation? I think I'll just stick with the book. I think I'll just stick with the old tried and true. You know, I'll just stick with that. I mean, you go to a restaurant. You go to a restaurant and they've got everything under the sun and that's laid out there. But truth of the matter is, you said, I think I'll just stick with old chicken fried steak. It's hard to go wrong, you know. You douse that down in good old gravy. It's hard to go wrong, man. It's hard to go wrong. Look. We always looking for something new. Could I try something new? Could I try something different? No, I think I'll just stick with the book. I'll just do that. On the mountain or in the valley, I think I'll just stick with God and his word. Oh, yeah, I'm on the mountaintop and celebrating. Everything's good. I think I'll stick with God that got me here. Oh, but now you're down in the valley. Look what things are on. Yeah, it's all right. I'll stick with God. He'll get me out. I'm just going to stick with the book. I'm going to stick with him. In the storm or in the calm, doesn't matter. I'm going to stick with God. I'm going to stick with his word. He said, man, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. That's where I'm at. You want to find me? I'll be stuck right there, okay? That's where I'm at, okay? And that's it right there. Whether things are certain or it's uncertain, your anthem is going to remain, I shall not be moved. Why? Sticking with the book. I'm stuck right here on those testimonies. I'm stuck. So, preacher, why are you so resistant about changing things? Because of the book. Because of the book. That's why. That's it. We're going to stay with it. And I want you to notice. You notice that last verse we read there in Psalms 119, okay? Do you see the way it changes? Do you see the change there? Go back to verse 30. I have. I have. Verse 31. I have. I have. In the middle of verse 30, he said, have I laid? Well, that means I have, okay? So three times he said, I have, I have, I have. But you get verse 32 and he said, I will. I will. You see that little difference? You see, that's just that little bit of difference, all right? Hey, you know what I have is right now, I've done it. I've done it. I've done it. But I will is talking about the future. Talking about the future. I have done this. I have chosen. I have chosen the way of truth, all right? And thy judgments I have laid before me. That's the challenge for my life. And then I have stuck with the testimony. I've stuck with the book. I'm not going to change. I'll stay with it. But boy, I want you to just see the change. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I will. Hey, because of what I've done and because of what he's done, because of what I did, there's been a change. There's been a change. Okay? I mean, things are changed. Can I say this to you? You make a choice. You take the challenge and you stay in the channel God made for you to stick in with those testimonies. He'll make a change in you. He'll make a change. There'll be something different about you. And it will stand out, all right? He did it for the psalmist. He'll do it for you. He'll change the way you run the race that's set before you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 talks about us running a race. Running a race. It's the way we live. It is our life. You with me? It is our life. That race that's set before you. Now, some of us are closer to the end than others. But the truth of the matter is, we don't know how close we are to the end. We don't know how close we are to the end. We've got some little kids back here in Children's Church, very young. The truth of the matter is, they may reach the end of their race tomorrow. We look around, we see the gray hair. We see the feeble, and we think, he ain't long, his race. You don't know that. You don't know that. But he says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to run, okay? I will run the way of thy commandments. That is the change that God does through you. Why? Because I made a choice. Because I made a choice. And because I was willing to challenge myself to let the Word of God get in and take a look and examine my life. And I was willing to stay in that channel and stick with that book and stick with it all the way. Then I've been changed to live a life that's right with God. If you're right with Him, I just want to tell you something, you're going to be right with other people. If you're right with God, you'll be right with other people. You can be even right with your enemies. That doesn't mean they'll necessarily become your friends, but you'll treat them the way you should. You can be right with them, all right? To run the way of thy commandments is a permanent change in the way of life. He's saying, from here on, that's it for me. I will run that way. I made a choice back yonder, and that choice being what it is and what it's done to me, then from now, I'm right here. I will do this from now on. It's a permanent change. It's not just a Sunday thing. Not just a Sunday thing. Well, one day a week, I'm going to try to do things right. No. It's not just a temporary thing. It's not a try it and see thing. Hey, try it and see is okay if you're getting a pair of shoes, all right? My brother's wearing a pair of shoes this morning that I bought and paid for. Not because I loved him and wanted to give him a gift. I bought a pair of shoes. I'd read about them. They said, man, they're the greatest thing since sliced bread, you know. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to try them. So I bought me a pair. Man, I put them on. I wore them twice. They were no better the second time than they were the first. So I figured two's enough. We're not going for the third try. And I was looking at his shoes one day, and man, they looked like God knows what. I thought, man, son, you're headed for the poorhouse. You need some shoes, all right? And they were beat up, looked terrible. I'm surprised his wife let him out of the house, all right, in those shoes he had on. I'm not kidding you. They were bad, weren't they, Linda? Okay, there you are. She went, I'm not making this up. I just want you to know it, all right? They looked terrible. And I was sitting there and said, hey, what size shoe do you wear? He same size I wore. I said, I got a pair. You can have them. If you like them, you can just keep them. So I gave them to him. He likes them. They work for him. I'm glad they do, all right? But, he said he'd try it and see. Well, we're not talking about your life and a try it and see thing. I'm going to just try this Christian deal and see how it works. No, I made a choice. I chose the way of truth. Not a temporary thing, not a Sunday thing, not a try it and see. Hey, but I'm going to do it. And you know what will happen? Folks see the change in you. Folks see the change in you. They'll know something or somebody has made a change in you. Why? Because I made a choice back there. I chose the way of truth. Oh, my goodness, how people need to choose. First of all, they just need to choose life, period. They just need to choose to be born again. If you're here this morning and never chose to be born again, then if that doesn't change, you're destined for the lake of fire for all eternity. But it's not for you. Not for you. You don't have to go. You can make a choice. You could try. I'm going to trust Christ. But Christian, can I say this? I see so many Christians that seem to have never made the choice in their life. I'm going to choose the way of truth. It was a conscious thing. Well, I trusted Christ. That was a choice, and I did choose to trust him. He convicted me, and I realized I needed to be saved, and I trusted him. Well, wait a minute. You need to go past that. You need to choose the way of truth for your life. I'm going to choose that way, and I'm going to be willing to take this old book and let it expose my life, my words, my way, my will, everything. I'm going to let it just look at me. And what's wrong, I'm going to make right. What doesn't measure up, I'll stick with your testimonies, Lord. I'm going to be sticking with this. And I'm not going to worry about what somebody else does, what becomes popular or what becomes unpopular. It doesn't matter. I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to do what you say. Boy, if you'll do it, that'll make that change and say, I'm going to spend my life. I'm going to run the way of thy commandments. That's it. That's it. I'm going to run the way of thy commandments. That's from right here on, forever, as long as I live. I want to die serving God. I want to die living right. Living right. What a terrible thing it would be to live a little while serving God and fall by the wayside, fall out, and die in a wicked situation, in a wicked life. What a terrible thing. Man, I want to run the way of his commandments. I just ask you, have you chosen the way of truth? Have you chosen consciously? That's what I want. That's what I want. I want this book. I'm not worried about people judging me, but I want this book to judge me. I want this book to judge me. Hey, that's the reason I believe some people don't read the Bible too much, because it makes them real uncomfortable. It's the reason some people don't like to come to church. It makes them real uncomfortable. It's not the hypocrites that are there. It's what's in the heart of that individual. Boy, it just makes them uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. You know, the hardest preaching in the world against bootlegging has never bothered me. Never. I've never been in a sermon where that was being preached and I begin to go, a little uncomfortable here. So why? I never bootlegged, okay? I don't know how to make bathtub gin, okay? I've just heard the term. I don't know how to make it. I've seen stills. I've seen, you know, where they make bootleg whiskey and all that stuff. I have no idea. I don't know how to do it. I've never done that. Just to be honest with you, I never wanted to. So you can preach that all you want to. Have at it. Go ahead. I'll sit on the front row and shout amen. But there's a few things you preach against, and I begin to get a little squirmy. I have a problem with it. You say, what's that, preacher? That's between me and God. Okay, that's between me and him. But I just want to tell you something, all right? I made a choice a long time ago. I'm going to choose the way of truth. I'm going to run. I'm gonna, as good as I can, I'm going to do what you say. Now, what choice do you make? Well, I'll be a halftime Christian. I'll be a Sunday morning Christian. You hadn't made much of a decision. How about you? Need to make some choices today. You need to get some things right, maybe. You're in the right place. You're in the right place. Would you do it? Let's stand with every head bowed and every eye closed. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, to come to you this morning, grateful. You've been so good to us. Lord, you've given us the opportunity to be in your house this morning to hear the Word of God taught and preached. But Lord, I pray we'd not just walk out of here unconcerned about what's been said. And Lord, we'd not just walk out of here and ignore the message. But Lord, we'd allow the Holy Spirit of God to deal with us. That way of truth is not an accidental path that we get on. It's a choice. Would you help us make that choice today? Lord, maybe somebody needs to strengthen that choice today. Maybe we need to get to that point where we're willing to put your judgments out there in front of us and really let it examine us and examine our heart and our life. Lord, would you help us to do that? Would you help us this morning? Lord, help us to be honest with ourselves and honest with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Invitation's open today. If God's speaking to you, would you come?